Well, good morning, everyone. Are we feeling good?
Yes.
Excellent. Very good. Let's pray and then we'll turn to God's Word. Father God, we thank you for your Word and for all that it teaches us. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to understand the passage we're going to look at today. But more than that, Lord, we pray that you will help us to apply it to our lives. Amen. Well, actually, before we look at the Word, I want to bring a bit of context. Have I got control? There's a worried look on the projector man's face. Before we get there, what's the hottest place that you've ever been? We've just had a wonderful half term with a touch of rain for one or two of us. What's the hottest place you've ever been? Has anyone been to America? Anyone been to America? Anyone been to Africa? Oh, lots of people. Anyone been anywhere in the Middle East? Anyone been to the equator? Actually, I'm not sure if I've been to the equator or not. Yeah, one or two people have. So we've been to some really hot places. Today we're going to think about somewhere that was far hotter than any of those. We're going to hear a great story, well known to many of us, of three young men who were placed in real danger, somewhere where they should have been burnt to a crisp. But let's get back to where we started. The king of Babylon has invaded Israel, and this happened over 2,500 years ago. The king of Babylon invaded Israel. He was a bit of an invader. The king of Babylon was the most important man in the whole world. He had huge armies, and he'd invaded lots of places. But he wanted the best for his own court. He wanted the best people in the world in his court. So he would grab the best people from the countries that he invaded and take them into his court. But he said, first of all, I'm in charge now. Bring me noble men. Bring me people who are strong, healthy, handsome, clever, people like me. Better. There we have a person. Is he here? He's not here today, is he? Oh, what a shame. There we have someone just like that. Noble, strong, healthy. No, I'm not saying all that. Actually, the four people that Nebuchadnezzar had were all like that. They were chosen amongst others to go off. Daniel, which is the book we're going to be looking at, and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were taken off to be in King Nebuchadnezzar's court. They were special because they trusted God above everything else in their lives. When they got to Babylon, the first thing they did was to refuse to eat meat. And those of you who are in church a couple of weeks back will have heard about that. They were asked to eat meat to make them big and strong, and they said, we're not going to eat that meat because it's not been prepared the way that God has told us to prepare it. But we'll just have the vegetables. Yum. And they were worried. The people around them were worried that they wouldn't be big and strong, but despite only eating vegetables, they grew big and strong, which is why you must eat your sprouts at Christmas. Well, it got worse than that, because they nearly got killed. They nearly got killed because in Daniel chapter 2, the king of Babylon had a dream, and he wanted to understand what the dream was. In fact, he couldn't remember what the dream was. And he asked all his wise men, tell us what the dream was. He said, well, unless you tell me what the dream was, how can we even try and interpret it? And he said, ah, you're all too stupid. In fact, anyone who's clever, I want them killed. Get them out. Well, Daniel, together with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, got together, they prayed, and again, I think this came out last week. They prayed, and God showed Daniel in a dream what the king's dream was. And he then went and explained it to the king, explained what it meant, and the king was thrilled. He understood his dream. He said, wow, now I get it. And he said this, your God, Daniel, is the God of gods, the King of kings, and the revealer of mysteries. See, he came across God very early on. He knew who God was, he recognized it, and he trusted Daniel and his three friends, all the way. The trouble was, as time passed, slowly, carefully, things changed, as they do in all our lives. And he forgot about that. And he said, hang on, wait. I'm very important. I'm the king of Babylon. I'm the king of the biggest nation and the most powerful nation in the whole world. I want all the people to worship me, including all those Jews from Israel, I want them to worship me. So what did he do? Well, you know what he did? Because he built himself a little statue. Actually, he built himself a 90-foot high statue. What's 90 foot? Well, if that was a man, it would be a lot smaller than that. In fact, that's about the size we would be compared to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. But it's a good-looking statue, isn't it? And what he said to the people was, whenever you hear the music of my fantastic band, I want you to bow down and worship my statue. It must have been a bit weird, mustn't it? And if you don't, he said, I'll burn you in my furnace. Pretty savage. So, of course, most of the people did. And a furnace would have looked a bit like, this is a modern day furnace, but it would have been about this size that you can see. Modern day, what's that? I mean, that man's got a massive heatproof suit, hasn't he? But it would have been about that size. That's a pretty hot furnace. I wonder what that would have been like back then. Well, let's have a go ourselves. We really need a statue, don't we? Phil. Always when you want the tall guy. Stand up for us, Phil. That's not tall enough. You see that ladder in front of you? Let's see if we can get an idea of how big Nebuchadnezzar's statue was. I wonder if we ought to have Warden Brent standing at the bottom to secure him. Where's Warden Brent gone? Can't see him. Warden Brent, are you able to stand at the bottom and secure him? Just in case he falls. Wow, he's quite big actually, isn't he? So that's quite tall, isn't it? Nebuchadnezzar's statue was much taller than that. It was the height of 18 men. Thank you very much. And remember, Nebuchadnezzar said, whenever you hear the music, you're to worship the statue. Well, we're not going to worship a statue, but we are going to stand up. And whenever we hear the music, we're just going to sit down. So a little bit like what we do in Pathfinders. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Just talk to the person next. Have a bit of a chat. What we do in Pathfinders, I ask you to say something that's happened to you in the last week. So stand up, talk to the people around you, and when you hear the music, you've got to sit down. Thanks, Ken. Because we'd never worship anything big and shiny, would we? Wow. I think we need to try it again because I'm not sure we've got the hang of this. So let's try this once again. If you're able to, just stand up, carry on your conversation. What's the one thing that mattered to you most this week? And we'll listen out for the music. Coronation Street. Oh. Thanks, Ken. That was much better. Well done, everybody, for sitting down. And I can see most of you gazing at the handsomeness of Phil up there. What? I can't hear.
They're still standing up.
They are? Why are you three still standing up? Oh, I need my microphone. And Daniel's going to tell me why you're standing up. Why are you three still standing up?
Our God has said not to put any other gods before me and not to bow down to any other idols.
Thank you very much. Have a seat now. Brave, brave boys. And Nebuchadnezzar's statue, you can return to your normal height. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Phil. Thank you, Warden Brent. Good job. Some sneaky people, oh, thank you, even uncued, good man, noticed that three people were not bowing down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego refused to bow down because they knew that God had said not to. The trouble is, Nebuchadnezzar was furious. But he knew these people were very special. So he said, you can have one more chance. This time, come on, just do it. Just worship my statue. Katie's going to read what happened. Thanks. Thanks, Katie.
Today's reading is Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 30, and can be found on page 886 in the Church Bibles. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace.
Thank you, Katie. I'm going to ask you to stop there for the moment. Perhaps you'll come back and do some more later. So Nebuchadnezzar really was furious. Did you hear what happened? He heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been before. Nebuchadnezzar's chief weapon, as the most powerful man in the world, was fear. Actually, it was more than that. Fear and 3 other things. Fire, massively hot furnace. Huge force. He got his strongest soldiers to grab the 3 brothers, the 3 friends. And he had fastenings, because you have to have X when they're all together. Ropes, they were. So he tied them up, didn't he? He tied them up and threw them into the furnace. How hot was the furnace? Well, did you hear? It was so hot that 2 of the guards that went to throw him in the furnace were burnt up themselves. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had something far better than Nebuchadnezzar's fear. They had faith. They had faith in that great God. They trusted him. They weren't prepared to compromise. They were prepared and quite happy to go to the blazing furnace because they trusted God. I wonder how often we compromise. It's easy these days, isn't it? Just to maybe go along with things. Just to maybe walk away from a conversation. Just to kind of nod gently as it's happening. And we all do it. We've got a fantastic model in Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego here. Well, faith is something we talk about. It's a bit of a, almost sometimes can be a bit of a nebulous thing. But Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they knew one thing. And there was something that they didn't know. There was something that they didn't know. And we'll find out what that is later. But we're going to pause there. We're going to sing, actually, a bit of a spoiler as to what they discovered. So where were we at? Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were in the furnace. They knew one thing, and there was something they didn't know. Think about that in a moment. We're just going to pause. Let me ask you a question. What are the 2 gadgets that cause most, shall we say, discussion in family households? What are 2 gadgets that cause family discussion, shall we say, in the household? Now, this is interesting, isn't it? 1 or 2 ideas. Go on then.
iPad.
An iPad, that's interesting. How about another one? Any other ideas? I'm not going to wave a microphone around. Go on. TV remote. What, one of those? Yeah, that's one, isn't it? TV remote. Put your hand up if you're in charge of the TV remote at home. Thank you. Some certainty, some doubt, and some discussion down here. What about another gadget? There's another gadget. The phone's an interesting one. Any ideas? An iPod, iPad, yeah? You have a theme going on here, Teresa? Oh, almost as if I put it in the script. Thank you, Teresa. Yeah, now this is one where if you're living in a tight family, it can cause interest. In our house, if I go out quite early, take the dog for a walk, and my wife Julie's still in bed, I come back, and of course it's hot. So I said, it's really hot in here, and I turn the thermostat down, and she moans at me. I don't know why. Because it's funny, when she goes out early and takes the dog out, and I'm still in bed, and I get up, and she comes back, For some reason, she can't understand and wants to turn the thermostat down. It's freezing. So much trouble. What is a thermostat? Who can tell me? I have to ask the question. What is a thermostat? Who can tell me what a thermostat is? Where's Brian, just in case I get in trouble? There he is. I can see him there. Let's have young men at the front again. What's a thermostat?
It's something
which... Oh, hang on. Let's come back. Let's put this on.
Is it something which changes the temperature?
It's sort of something that changes the temperature. Can we build on that? Little brother, build on it.
Is it like one of those things where it tells you the temperature on it?
Oh, well, it can do. Modern thermostats do. That's a bit of an old-fashioned one that Teresa recognises. Yeah, it sometimes tells you what the temperature is. It controls the temperature, doesn't it? And if you want to understand how it works, have a chat with Brian afterwards. It controls the temperature. Actually, we have a thermostat in church, and it's called Brian, isn't it? His job is to guess what the temperature is going to be in a week's time and make sure we've got enough heat for it. Well, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego knew this. They knew that God's hand is on the thermostat. See, they knew that no matter how hot the furnace was, how much coal was piled onto it, how much wood was there, they knew that God's hand was on the thermostat. They knew that no harm could come to them. And if you want to think about this as an idea of what faith is, it's knowing that God's hand is on the thermostat of our lives. See, to Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, fire, force, fastenings, ropes, irrelevant. Utterly irrelevant. Because God's hand is on the thermostat. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? How do we know? How do we know that God's hand really is on the thermostat? The place we find it out is when we're in the furnace. So what didn't they know? They knew, because they had faith in God, that God's hand was on the thermostat, but they didn't know something. Casey, would you come and read a bit more for us? So 24 to 27, please. Thank you.
This reading is Daniel chapter 3, verses 24 to 27, and can be found on page 886. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and straps of prefects, governors, and royal advisers crowded round them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Katie. That's good. Thank you for keeping us there. So what did you notice? If you've got a Bible open, have a look in verse 25. Four surprising sights when Nebuchadnezzar peeped in to his massively hot furnace. What did he see? He saw four men, one of whom looked like the son of the gods. He saw them walking. He saw that they were unbound, and he saw that they were unharmed. We'll do four men in a moment. Why were they walking around? Of course, they were there to show that they were unbound. Doesn't tell us why they were walking around. My little theory is that because God's hand was on the thermostat. You know, when you've been somewhere hot and you walk into an air-conditioned building, the first thing you do is, "Oh, it's a bit cold in here." I think they were walking around to keep a bit warm. They were unbound. You see, sometimes we need to be in the furnace, don't we? When we're bound up by the world. When we're bound up, maybe by our sin. Bound up by things that are tying us down, bound up by the pressure of what's going on. You know, we need to be in the furnace because that's where we know that God's got his hand on the thermostat. Sometimes we've got to put ourselves under pressure from God to experience it. And they were unharmed. Did you hear that? Not even the smell of smoke on them. How can you possibly be in a fire and come out not even smelling of smoke? I walk out of my kitchen quite often and it smells of smoke and I've been cooking. You see, God has us under a double lock of protection. Not only is his hand on the thermostat protecting us, but Jesus was there in the middle of them, a man who looked like the Son of God. So they met Jesus in the furnace. We don't even know if they knew Jesus was there, but there they met him. And when Paul and Silas and Acts were in prison, they'd been beaten with rods, they'd been thrown into prison, and they'd been put in stocks. And yet, what were they doing? They were singing and praying, because they knew that God's hand was on the thermostat and they knew that Jesus was with them. That's where we find Jesus. When we find that we're under our most pressure, Jesus is there. Finally then, what was the consequence? Katie, would you mind joining us again just to do the very last bit of our reading? Thank you.
This reading is Daniel chapter 3, verses 28 to 30. And can be found on page 887. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
So finally, just quickly as we finish, what happened was, well, actually interesting, why was Nebuchadnezzar looking into his furnace is an interesting question. Why was he looking into the furnace? He had his strongest men there. I'm going to answer my own question. Because he knew there was something that he shouldn't have done here. He was looking in, and secretly he was hoping that the God who he remembered from before had done something. And when he looked in and they were safe, he realised what was going on. Because remember his words that Katie just read to us, the last bit, he said, "No other God can save in this way." Once again, he met God. He saw who he was. And he also said to all of them, "You're promoted." Because God honours those who honour him. And even when it's tough, you know, there are people watching us. And sometimes it's when we're at our most difficult situation that others are looking at us to see, how do you respond to that? They can see the love of Jesus, even in our most difficult times. We might not even realise it. When God's hand is on the thermostat, the best place to be is in the furnace. Let me finish off by telling you about just an ordinary vicar. This vicar is someone I haven't met, I've read a bit about. He does the kind of things that every vicar does. He preaches, he performs weddings, he baptises, he offers communion, he gives counsel and comfort to his congregation. Got a big church in a big city. He makes mince pies for his church members at Christmas, and he also presides over funerals. Lots of funerals. One Sunday on his way to morning worship at church, the vicar counted 60 dead bodies strung up on lampposts and discarded along the road. He's a vicar in one of the most dangerous cities in the world. His name's Andrew White, and he's a vicar in Baghdad in Iraq, one of the three most dangerous places in the world. And he carries on his work there, and because his faith stands out, he is able to do amazing things. He brings peace where you wouldn't think it possible. He meets with the craziest people. But through his work, he's slowly able to be one of the people that's bringing peace. Where is he? Well, he's in the furnace pretty much all the time. And he's there because he loves the people. But he's there because he knows that in that environment, God's hand is on the thermostat. Let's pray. Father God, sometimes it seems it's really difficult. Sometimes we have to stand up for you when it seems that it's almost impossible. But we thank you that your hand is on the thermostat, that nothing can happen to us that is too much for us, and that you are in control. Amen.